balance of nature's fruits and veggies.
I love the product. I love the product. I would never be without it. Just in every way, a general feeling. It's very energizing. I wouldn't be without it. It's got so many good things and pluses. There's no minus. It's all plus.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
You're open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep because my bed's on fire.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I've got Uncle Milty with me today. And how's your Tuesday working out for you? Ours is great so far. In fact, there's a lot to talk about today. There always is. Of course, you know, we had to bring up Bloomberg and his insulting of basically everybody, and telling us only the tech are smart and everybody else doesn't need as much gray matter to exist. I always love to hear that from Bloomberg. I would have actually expected that comment from Biden more so than Bloomberg, but okie dokie. I played that in the beginning. Welcome back to the show. Did you know that you could find us on Facebook and Twitter, The Kate Daly Show on Facebook? In fact, Dr. Pesta, our guest on Mondays, his show plays right after we get off the air. And you can actually do that right on Facebook. His show plays live right on Facebook on the Kate Daly Show page. Also on Twitter, The Kate Daly Show. And of course, Balance of Nature. Make sure you're taking this supplement. Right now, of course, as we're talking about coronavirus and everything else we've got going on in America, not really going on in America, going on over in China, but we keep talking about it over here in America. We do need to shore up our immune systems regardless. And make sure that you're doing that with Balance of Nature. It really is a fantastic supplement. My husband loves it. I love it. And let me tell you, it's the fruits and vegetables. In fact, my son was just taking it the other morning because he's on a new workout program and he knows that fruits and vegetables are so necessary. And so make sure that you're taking this. This is 10, 11 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day of clean fruits and vegetables with no chemicals, nothing on them. They get the best of the best ingredients you're absolutely going to score for yourself for a very, very low price. You could never buy all those fruits and vegetables. And this is affordable. You can actually get 35% off and free shipping right now. They got a tremendous deal going if you put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E, K-A-T-E. Use my name and as a listener to the show, get 35% off free shipping. It's an amazing deal. Balanceofnature.com. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kate. Sam
hi there.
And,
hi.
Want to comment on, you were talking about Bloomberg.
Oh, yes. Yes. Bloomberg.
Gag me with a spoon, but anyway. This is also the same guy that's been quoted as saying that if he becomes elected, that he will consider all hate speech domestic terrorism.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yeah, and they had a wide hold you could drive a truck through.
Yeah, they usually are with these guys. Usually what they're creating, their America, geez, it looks very, communist? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing for people to consider, too. I mean, and of course, you know, I go back to the whole issue, define hate speech. You know, this, in fact, I've said from the beginning, the whole idea of this concept of hate speech was just something, just another thing, as if we need anything else to charge somebody with, where in reality, we already have laws that would take care of anything that would harm somebody else, such as murder or robbery or whatever. We have laws on the books for that. So now what we're going to do is just because you say something that somebody can deem offensive, then I guess we're going to consider you a domestic terrorist under him, and you wind up stuffed in some gulag somewhere.
There you go. Jeez. So, thank you. I really appreciate
you bet.
That.
That's all I got.
Thanks.
Apparently, he's never heard that the more laws you have, the better.
Oh, man. There was an article about socialism that it kind of struck me a little bit because you know, we talk to Pesta all the time, and Pesta is one of the very, very few conservatives. And this was on the heels, I have to say, and I will get to this right after, is an article talking about Harvard and Yale, and they're under investigation for $375 million in secret funding from China. Yeah, in Saudi Arabia. And so, I know, right? Surprise? Not really. Really? I mean, if you really think about it, is that a big surprise to us? And so there was an article about a professor who said driving down a long highway, a long road in Texas, a very lonely road in Texas, sort of helped him kind of figure out about socialism. He was talking about the fact that youth support socialism, and that was measured up at 51% of our youth. That's a really scary, scary number.
Yeah.
And given the college, you know, activist environment, can you imagine how these kids are going to step away from socialism or inviting it in or having this idea that it's somehow a good thing? And so, as an undergraduate, this gentleman embraced socialism after being convinced that the future was firmly on the side of science, liberalism, and equalitarianism, which is basically what Bloomberg was talking about, right? He's saying you have to have more gray matter to be in these things than you do, you know, some person that works on a factory line or a farmer. And so basically, he transitioned from this sort of youthful embrace of socialism and into a more cautious, ever more convinced appreciation of being a conservative, capitalism, understanding a little bit more. In other words, pulling his head out of the sand, which was great to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so his self-described conversion came from liberalism, commenced with this association as a Vanderbilt graduate student with the Nashville Agrarians. And in 1930, the Nashville Circle had published I'll Take My Stand, a collection of these 12 essays, Southern Agrarian Tradition Against the Northern Industrial Way of Life. And so on completion of the master's degree in 1934, he admittedly grew fond of his agrarian mentors, and he was reluctant to embrace their particular sort of conservative vision. And he said it was a slow transition up from liberalism, and it was not until he was teaching at Texas A&M University as a professor a few years later. And he finally made this conscious decision to reject the socialism and liberalism of his younger days. And then it was described how he was driving down a Texas highway and pondering this position at Texas A&M, and he suddenly realized, I do not have to go back to this job, which had become distasteful in his view, and that I did not have to go on professing the cliches of liberalism, which were becoming meaningless to me. I saw that my opinions had formed out of a timorous regard for what was supposed to be intellectually respectable. See, supposed to be intellectually mm-hmm. respectable. And that I had always been looking over my shoulder to find out what certain others, whose concern with the truth I was beginning to believe to be not very intense, were doing or thinking. It is a great experience to wake up at a critical juncture to the fact that one does have a free will, and that giving up the worship of false idols in a quite practical proceeding. So given this imbalanced political views, given these among these college professors, and then you have groupthink that takes place on campus, it's hard to see what today's, you know, college instructors, it's hard to see them even making that kind of transition away from socialism, isn't it?
Yeah, very
hard. To be that introspective and to say, you know, hey, am I really examining this? I mean, what am I teaching here? And so the professor's fear of failing to conform to what is supposed to be intellectually respectable is reinforced by their so-called woke students. It's true. And a new event of fanatical political correctness on college campus seems to occur every single other week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Students demanding changes to curriculum, signs, you know, buildings and free speech zones and all those kinds of things.
Well, that's the thing again. It seems as though the leftists are always mm-hmm. extremely radical and demanding.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid to yell and scream and demand what they want. So, again, a minority of students appears to be a majority and gets their way.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is coming from a book. The Nashville Circle had published I'll Take My Stand, and that was 12 essays that this was written in. And I think it's a really great to me, it just speaks of the fact that how many take a long car drive and ever really think through anything. We get used to the groupthink. We get used to spinning out, you know, stuff. Bloomberg would do well with a long car ride through America. You know what I'd love to see him do? I'd love to see him present a problem to a group of farmers and ranchers and then a group of your little tech wizards that have never, ever left the basement. I would like to see him give a problem to both groups. I would like to see him take a long trip down America's highways to really think about the stuff he's spewing, because I think he's been holed up in New York City a little too long on his little bed of lies that he lays on every night with his Bloomberg media and his Bloomberg everything. Talk about an oligarch. Talk about somebody that loves to have the kind of influence that he has. How dare he even call Trump that? How dare he even do that? He's been spinning his influence for years and years and years and using his money to do it. And now he comes out with these incredibly idiotic statements, insulting statements about who has more gray matter in America. And he thinks he has a lot of gray matter? Wow.
He's so extremely wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that.
Uh-huh.
And he says the weirdest stuff. But when you talk about things like ending student loan debt,
mm-hmm.
he's not wealthy enough to be able to do that himself.
Right.
He doesn't have enough money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He could end the homeless problem overnight
mm-hmm.
by himself.
Sure.
He doesn't.
No,
they
he
never
doesn't.
Do.
He doesn't.
But student loan debt is over almost a trillion and a half dollars.
Yeah.
He can't even come close to doing
Didn't you love Elizabeth Warren's face when that father went to her and said,
yes.
Are you kidding me? I forwent vacations because I had to pay student loans. And you're telling me you're not going to help me. You're just going to help everybody else that doesn't want to pay them. And she couldn't come up with an answer. She was a deer in the headlights. They don't have any idea how they're going to pay for any of this, except off the backs of all of you.
Well, it really is unfair because mm-hmm. I know my oldest son just recently, mm-hmm. in the last few years, got done paying off his student loans.
Right.
But he paid them. And now, a couple years later, they're talking about wiping out everybody else's student loan.
Yeah.
Excuse me? How is that fair?
Mm-hmm. You know, it was funny, too. I also wanted to say the slow transition up from liberalism. It's the only direction you can go, is up from liberalism. Liberalism is the lowest form of thinking. There is no other form of thinking that competes with it because it's that low on the totem pole for not having to have much gray matter to think about. It's amazing to me when they are providing the so-called solutions that they are without any remedies that would enhance freedom for anybody or anything even adjacent to it. Nothing. It is the lowest common denominator of think.
Well, if you really look hard, they don't propose solutions for anything.
No, they don't.
Because the solutions they propose are not possible to do.
Yeah.
It isn't. I mean, it isn't mathematically possible.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So that's not a solution.
Yep. And as sad as that is, and I know what you're thinking, I love that they said up from liberalism. I just want to say that. When Weaver decided to take that road, a long journey, and decide, hey, wait a minute, what am I teaching? What am I doing? It doesn't even make sense to me anymore. Boy, I want everybody to have that epiphany. Especially in the college circuit, because that's what's doing the most damage. That's why we're producing 51% youth that will embrace socialism. The teachers embrace it. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
I'll tell you,